For 2.5 years on Sunday evening, we've been preaching through the Gospel of Mark. And we're in the 14th chapter tonight. I'm going to read verses 20 through to 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, the supper's over. Jesus has established the ritual of the new covenant. He's broken the loaf and shared the cup, symbols of his body to be broken for all and his blood to be shed for all. Gethsemane in the cross or before him, how shall he face them? Perhaps we've imagined that Jesus went to the cross defeated, depressed, and disappointed. Here we are told that he went singing. I like that. He went singing. He was utterly dedicated to the Father's will, and thus he was possessed with a strange joy. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. The hymn they sang provides a key to his confidence and joy. Before the meal of the Passover, Psalms 113, 114 were sung. After the meal, Psalms 115 through 118 were sung. In Psalm 118, just listen to a few brief passages from it. It begins and ends with the words, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever." Three other verses and end with a refrain, "His mercy endures forever." What a confidence builder when anyone faces difficulty if you can affirm God is good and his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to him. What a builder of confidence. In verse 5 he says, "In my anguish I cried to the Lord and he answered me by setting me free. I cried to the Lord in my anguish, and he answered me by setting me free. Verse 6 affirms, "The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" And on this psalm goes, giving thanks, praising God, and affirming the ultimate victory of God. The psalm they sang was one of deep trust in God. It was a psalm of a brave and joyous faith with which anyone can meet life and death. But this is not just a picture of the courage of Jesus, of confidence and joy in the face of danger. It's a picture also of a fellowship in worship as a fortification for struggle and equipment for testing. Now, I know that worship can be empty, meaningless, boring. An old fellow over in the mountains of North Georgia asked his preacher on one occasion, "Do you think it was possible for a person to go to church on a regular basis and still go to hell?" And the preacher assured him that this was entirely possible. The fellow said, "That would be truly awful to go to church and still have to go to hell." You know, for many people, church is to be endured, not enjoyed. Some never join in singing a hymn or saying a creed or praying a prayer. Some join in, but it's all ritual. They say the Lord's Prayer, not pray it. They give no thought to the words that they're singing or saying. The greatest hymns do not move them. The ancient creeds are recited without thought. The greatest joy comes to them with the pronouncement of the benediction. But for Jesus and his disciples, the singing of a hymn was no mere form. As they sang, they shared in Israel's great religious heritage of faith. As they sang, the ancient words came alive in their spirits and strengthened them for whatever might be before them. When they had sung a hymn, their spirits were renewed in a fellowship of worship with each other and with the great company of those who had sung the same hymn in days gone by. And this is what worship can do. It's not a means of entertainment or aesthetic diversion. Worship, when we come and bow down before God, confess our sin and receive God's forgiveness and respond to God's call to service, is a fortifying power. It equips us for service for our Lord. Someone has said the great scenes of Christian history might hear these words as a subtitle. When they had sung a hymn, they went out. It was true of the martyrs. As they went into their amphitheater to face the lions, they went singing. It was true of the early leaders of the anti-slavery movement. They sang a hymn and then went out and went to work. It's been true of thousands of farewell meetings for departing missionaries going to a world unknown. They sing a hymn and they go out. And to some degree, it's still true. At every annual conference, the people sing a hymn and then they go out. It should be true to some degree each Sunday as we sing a hymn and then go out to serve. Is it true of us? Perhaps we do not go out most effectively in conflict with evil because we do not worship effectively enough. Do we sing a hymn and go out to serve? Or do we sing a hymn and sit down to do nothing? Let us come to worship God. Let us bow before Him. Confess our sins and receive His forgiveness. Let us join with the saints of the ages as we sing the hymns of the faith. Surely this will fortify us for whatever testing will come. I don't know about you, but I don't think I ever sing a hymn in isolation. Even when I'm alone and singing, I'm not alone. When I sing Jesus Loves Me, I go back to the time when my first Sunday school teacher, when I was 3 years old, taught me to sing Jesus Loves Me. When I sing Love Lifted Me, I think of my first Sunday school teacher's sister, who is now my teacher. 8 years of age, she taught us to sing. In an after-school meeting, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Jesus lifted me. When I heard the words, I love to tell the story, my mother's voice rings through my mind. And sometimes I just can't sing it. But I say in my spirit for my mother to sing on. When we sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, I think of a Sunday afternoon, my little country church was having an all-day singing, and I was sitting there just enjoying it tremendously, and this lawyer got up, and he asked me to come up front. He said, I've been watching you singing and I want you to lead a song. And I chose Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And every time I sing it, I'm back there with them and with you. On and on it goes. Have Thine Own Way became a part of my life when Winnedale and I were going together. And I led it singing in a meeting of GIs in Korea. Have Thine Own Way. Have Thine Own Way. It's a part of my life. It's part of what got me into the ministry. When I sing, He Lifted Me, I think of a preacher friend of mine. When I hear The Great Physician, which we don't hear much, I think of my friend Marvin, who was an alcoholic. And he got up to lead that song, The Great Physician Now Is Here, The Sympathizing Jesus. And I think Marvin didn't get much sympathy from anybody else, but he got sympathy from Jesus, who finally delivered him from his addiction to alcohol. When you sing How Tedious and Tasteless the Hours, which most of you don't know, I think of the same time back in the Bear Creek Church when we were singing that song and Miss Rampy got up and started shouting, How tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus no longer I see. Sweet prospects, sweet birds and sweet flowers have all lost their sweetness to me. The midsummer sun shines but dim. The fields strive in vain to look gay. But when I'm happy in Him, December is as happy as May. Miss Rampy's there. And when I sing How Great Thou Art, so much comes to mind. Back in 1966, we had not a lay witness mission, but a youth witness mission for our youth in our church in Carrollton, Alabama. We had about a dozen young people from the Chattahoochee Valley come over and lead them in a mission on Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday. And the Spirit of God came upon those youth as they shared their testimony, and our youth came alive. And at 10 o'clock on Saturday night, We were standing on the front steps of the church singing to the top of our voices, "How great thou art." And parents came looking for their children. They were concerned about them. They knew they couldn't be at church on Saturday night till 10 o'clock. But there we were singing, "How great thou art. How great thou art." A little later that summer, I went in the invitation of a friend of mine to West Virginia, Blue Jays, West Virginia. I took Calvin and a young man from my church named Bennett Junkin, and we went up there for a revival meeting. Got there on Wednesday, started the meeting. On Saturday night was youth night in a revival meeting. Can you believe that? And I preached and I gave the invitation for all the youth that wanted a deeper work of God's grace in their life and more of God's love to come to the altar. And every young person there came and knelt at the altar, and I went along and prayed for each of them individually. And when the service was dismissed, the pastor and myself, along with a few others, walked back to the parsonage singing, "How great thou art. How great thou art." 1967, we made our first trip to California, and on the way we stopped at Carlsbad Cavern. If you've never been there, you need to go. It's the greatest thing underground I've ever seen. We were going through Carlsbad Cavern, Winnedale and Winnette and Calvin and myself. And something got a hold of me and I just couldn't contain myself. And Calvin said I embarrassed him to death. He heard this person singing, "How great thou art." And he just got louder and louder. And he got as far away from us as he could. He didn't want to be identified with that. But that was the beauty and the wonder of God's creation. All underground, under a desert. Under a desert. And Carrollton, the choir director, taught the choir to sing, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever, and I'll feast at the table spread for me." I couldn't tell you how many times that song ran through my mind and spirit the day my father was killed. And I think of it often. And then something beautiful, something good. The people at Lakewood, and especially Phyllis Caulfield as she sang it. And the last night we were at Lakewood, there came a ring at the parsonage door, and I went to the door, and when I stepped out on the front porch, there were about 25 or 30 young people there, and they started singing, "Pass It On. Pass It On." And I've tried to do it every year since. And when I get caught up in the hymns of Wesley, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. Oh, love divine, what hast thou done? The incarnate God had died for me. Love divine, all loves excel, and joy of heaven to earth come down. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain? For me who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Oh, love divine, what hast thou done? Incarnate God had died for me. Spirit of faith, come down. Hark the herald angels sing," and on and on and on and on. That's some of my favorite hymns. That's some of them. But I never sing them alone. And I'll never again hear anybody sing "Sweet Little Jesus Boy" not think of Craig. I wish somehow Craig could sing that every Advent time. But anyway, when we sing, we're surrounded by a great host of witnesses who challenge, encourage, and strengthen us. We're not alone. As we join with those present with us and those saints who've gone before in praise to God, the hymns we sing and the prayers we offer take deep root within us, strengthen us, and enable us to live out our gospel. And of course, the needs of our lives change and the songs change, but there's always a hymn there. Sometimes when everything's wonderful and beautiful, I sing, "This is my Father's world." Sometimes when things are going wrong, I sing, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through." I don't remember singing when the storms of life are raging, stand by me very much until the last couple of months. But I sing it often now. And God will take care of you has become more and more meaningful than it's ever been. And the old saying, what goes around comes around. I sing, Jesus loves me more than I have in years. When they had sung a hymn, they went out. Let us go. Go out strengthened, empowered, sing our hymns, and go out to serve our wonderful Lord. Amen.